Good morning, everyone. So good to be with you. My family and I decided to take a trip down to visit our oldest son down in Oklahoma at Bartlesville, Oklahoma Wesleyan University. And it's a joy to be able to go and visit him. And we're excited about that. But we're missing being with you all on this day, on this Lord's Day, this day of worship. But we know that God has good things in store for us. I know that today's passage of scripture that we just heard is a passage of scripture that you're probably very familiar with, probably one that you have looked at before and maybe you've studied a little bit. But we know that this passage of scripture has many different layers to it. So that's what I want to do today. I want to pull back some of the layers of this story because there are four understandings that I think if we get, we truly hold on to, that will enable us to live not only consistently, but fervently for what Jesus wants to do in our lives. And today I'm at a beautiful Palisades State Park at in between Mount Vernon and Cedar Rapids. And as you can tell, it's just absolutely gorgeous today. It's a little breezy, but that's okay. But this passage of scripture is so good. And so I want to get to the very first understanding. If we get this understanding, I think it'll help us in our walk with Jesus. And that is trust. Trust Jesus that he knows what he is doing when he sends you out. Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. Did you catch that when we were reading that passage of scripture was being read for you? Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. The disciples find themselves moving into a storm, and they find themselves in a rough, difficult, and hard situation. Messy, if you will. And none of them were prepared for what Jesus had sent them into. And most of our lives, we are doing that exact same thing, where we are trying to avoid storms, aren't we? We check the weather days in advance to see what to be prepared for when it comes to the weather. Will it rain? Will it be windy? In fact, I was checking the weather just a few days ago to make sure that today was a day that I could record this message because I wanted to make sure that there would be some sunshine, there wouldn't be any rain, and all of that. We do this in advance. But Jesus sends them into the storm anyway. So how do we end up in these storms that we find ourselves in? And they happen in a couple of ways. There's outside influences where there are people that are in our lives that make things happen beyond our control. Satan sometimes does that, the evil one. He puts things in our lives or there are circumstances that just happen that are beyond our control. Sometimes there are self-inflicted storms, things that we do in our own lives, whether it's a choice that we make, a situation that's going on, something that just causes pain and difficult patches in our lives. And thirdly, we end up in storms in our lives. Maybe, could we say it, because Jesus sends us into these life storms? Can we? Is it okay that we say that? We don't want to think that, do we? Because we want to believe that God has our best interest in mind, that Jesus has our best interest in mind. And I know that. I believe that. And I just hope that you do as well. But I often wonder, just because there is a difficult patch in life and it might be really hard, does that mean that it's not of God? Meaning, just because something is hard, just because there's a rough patch, doesn't mean that God is not in that situation. Now, does that mean that God causes the storm? However we want to decipher that, however we want to think about that, regardless of how we answer that, the storm is there. The storm's there. There's difficulty. It's present. But we have to weather it. And this story takes place because of what Jesus did in this passage. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. The original language that we see in this passage is a little bit even stronger than just made, but it's actually, it's a forced or compelled. And Jesus had his hand in getting them into the boat. But that's not the end of the story. That there's a whole lot more that goes into this, and it's not the end of your story either. You might be in a difficult spot in life. You might have some things going on in your life that are just hard. They're difficult. But it's not the end, is it? Absolutely not. It's not the end. Another way to look at this is that Jesus sent the disciples on purpose in a boat on the lake in the middle of a storm for a reason. There is a reason. There is a lesson to be learned in this. There's a reason for the disciples to be in the storm, but what was it? Why were the disciples in this storm? I think it's because Jesus is about to do something that is going to change their world, that is going to rock their world, going to blow their minds. Jesus was about to declare himself Lord over the created world by walking to them on the water. His presence was with them, and this reminds them that in the midst of the storm, in the midst of life's difficulties, he is present, and he can see the predicament that they are in. And likewise, when we are in storms, when we are in life's difficult moments, Jesus is Lord over that storm as well, whatever it might be. He is the sovereign Lord, and the storm, whatever it might be, is not bigger than God, not bigger than Jesus. It is not mightier than Jesus's might. It may feel like a storm. It may feel like our world is about to be drastically turned upside down, a storm that we cannot weather. It may be beating you down. It may be tearing you apart and rolling you from one place to the next. My question for you is that, have you ever considered that Jesus wants to reveal something to you in that storm? Jesus revealed his sovereignty to the disciples, his power, and his divine nature. Have you ever thought that he wants to do the same in your life as well? So we need to trust that Jesus knows what he is doing when he sends us out in the boat. The second understanding that I think we need to get is this, is to believe. Believe that Jesus calms fears with simple words. Matthew says that during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Do not fear. It is I. Take courage." Would you agree with me that the disciples were having a bit of a rough night? That they were made to get in a boat and they were probably pushing up against the waves most of the night. They hadn't slept. They were emotionally spent, probably spiritually worn out and physically just tired. The feeding of the 5,000 was hours ago, and they were probably a bit hangry too. The feeding of the 5,000 is one of the most talked about miracles in Scripture, and I would imagine that after that took place, the disciples were a bit on a spiritual high, that they were riding a little high in the saddle and were probably like pumped beyond belief, and then they get into the most difficult night of their lives a struggle of unprecedented moments, a dark night, to be sure. Has that ever happened to you? Where things are going along really well, things are just cruising and you're doing great, everything seems to be moving up and to the right, and you are just blown away with how things are going so great, and then out of nowhere, almost like out of thin air, you hit a roadblock. The wind is taken out of your sails and life becomes a struggle, and it's just plain hard. It's difficult, and it doesn't seem to be changing in the near future. Has that ever happened? Have you ever had one of those experiences where from one moment to the next, life just changed quickly and a new challenge came directly in your face? Maybe this is where you find yourself at right now, where things were good and then in an instant, everything changed. Things like this happen in life. They really do. They might not be your fault. It might not be anybody's fault, but life right now is just like you're rowing in the midst of a storm and you're not going anywhere. No progress is being made. Maybe this morning you can identify with the disciples. Maybe that's what you're feeling. And maybe there's a certain amount of fear that you're feeling. There's a certain amount of terror that is kind of building up within you. And it could be any type of thing. It could be an unknown situation in your life that you just are going to be dealing with. Maybe it's a health concern that you are facing. And it could be a work-related issue. Something going on at work that is just ridiculously difficult. Or maybe that's a family situation where there's something going on in the midst of your crew, your family, and it is just undeniably difficult. Or maybe there's a conversation that you know has to take place and you don't really know what to do with it. Maybe it's with your spouse or a child or a boss. I'm not sure, whatever it might be, but you're dealing with something that is really hard. Jesus has a word, not only for the disciples, but for us as well. And it is this: take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. This phrase, this 8-10 word phrase, has the ability to really change our perspective. It gives strength to the weak, it gives courage to the weary, and comfort to the downtrodden. It is I is more than just a identifying words for who is walking in the midst of the storm on the water. It is the identifying words of the divine nature of Jesus. It is I is better translated as this: is it is I am. This is the identifying term that has its roots back in Exodus, where God told Moses that it is I am that sends you. Jesus is using that type of language in this moment. He's using language that is reminiscent of God identifying himself to Moses. And out on the lake that is full of chaos and difficulty, Jesus, the I am incarnate God, is in their chaos. And likewise, Jesus is in your chaos as well, in your pain, in your difficult moment, whatever it might be. And the I am God, that is Jesus, the giver of courage, the giver of strength, is willing to speak these words into your life today. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. The third understanding that we need to have is call out. Jesus is passing by. Call out to him. Mark's gospel is unique in comparison to Matthew's gospel. Let me read it for you. Chapter 47 or 6:47 says this: when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining against the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they saw him and were terrified. I hope you didn't miss this. I hope you didn't miss it, because it's really important. Mark says that Jesus was about to pass them by. Jesus is on the water, walking his way across the lake, and he meant to walk right by the disciples. And it doesn't tell us what Jesus was thinking. It doesn't tell why he intended to walk by them, if he had a separate agenda or what it was. But Jesus meant to walk past the disciples. But he doesn't. He's deterred. He is stopped in his tracks. He listens to them, to the cry of the disciples, and does something different. Now let's get this straight. Okay? Jesus, God in the flesh, is put off from his plan to walk by the disciples, by their cries. Jesus changes his course. He changes his direction because he hears the disciples and their fear, their shouts. So what does that have to do with us this morning? We're not in the middle of a lake. We're not out in a boat. We don't have a storm that is being, our boat is being tossed by the waves. I would imagine that there are times that we feel like this, though, don't we? And maybe there will be times that we feel like this in our future. It's bound to happen. And I'm sure that we have felt like this and we're uncertain how to respond. You don't know where to turn. You don't know what to do. You don't know what is going on. And you don't know how to respond. And I'm sure the disciples felt that way as well. When things happen out of the ordinary, when difficulty comes, when life just happens, sometimes we cry out. Sometimes we wonder. I heard today that sometimes we need to practice a lament, where a number of psalms are telling God exactly where we are at, what is going on in our life, and where we need His response. We tell Him the honest truth of hurt and pain and difficulty. David did that often in his Psalms. He's honest with God. God can handle those things. He absolutely can. And then we respond by saying, "But your will, God." Have you ever just were willing to cry out to God? To call out to Him? Because Jesus is passing by. Jesus is involved in every aspect of our life. Jesus, if we call ourselves a follower of Him, we have this presence within us because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And so we can call out to Him just as the disciples did when they're on the lake being worn out by the storm and a little terrified and fearful of what is happening. Why is this guy walking on the water? I think we can be assured. I think we can understand that Jesus is willing to offer the courage of Himself, the nearness of His presence, and the knowledge of His care if we would be willing to call out to Him. Would you be willing to call out to Him? Would you be willing to just lament, to be honest with Him on where you're at, the pain, the hurt, the difficulty, just to call out? I think if we get this third understanding really, really wrapped up in our minds and we get it and we practice it, we'll be able to weather those storms that come our way. We'll be able to manage them with God's help. We won't be able to solve them because I don't think that's the place that we're supposed to be in at this time, but we will be able to withstand and know that on the other side of that storm, there is sunlight. There is joy in the morning because His mercies are new every day. So call out to Him. Jesus is near. The fourth thought, the fourth understanding in all of this is to seek the command of Jesus. And I do apologize, the wind today is getting a little out of control and I've tried to seek shelter in a number of different ways, but I just can't get past this view. I mean, look at this behind me. This is just absolutely perfect fall colors. Anyways, the fourth understanding is to seek the command of Jesus. And I want you to hear this in verse 28, what happens here. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have a little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? Interestingly enough, this is the part of the story where more times than not, we pick on Peter. We pick on him about his faith. We pick on him about his vision to see the storm and to be distracted and not to keep his eyes on Jesus. And we are talked about many times, we say, I don't have faith like Peter, where he got distracted and he took his eyes off Jesus and he sunk and it was a lack of faith. And I don't want to do that. I mean, I've talked about it, yeah. But I don't want to pick on Peter. I don't want to focus on Peter's failure. We easily could, because that's something that is natural and it's part of human responses, isn't it? To look at the world around us and be like, wow, what in the world is going on? And lose a little bit of faith. But what I do want to focus in on is I want to focus in on Peter's response to the revelation of Jesus. He sees Jesus and he calls out to him and says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Peter is willing to move at the very words of Jesus. He is ready to act at the utterance of a simple syllable, and Peter's response is asking for a command. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And I don't think this is about showing off, and I don't think this is about anything other than Peter wanting to do what his master wants him to do. It's an example of trust and commitment in a difficult situation. And here we find ourselves. We find ourselves in a similar situation where we are experiencing Jesus in a different context, but experiencing Him nonetheless in the midst of our own storms, in the midst of our own difficulties, in the midst of our own struggles. Are we willing to say, Lord, if it's you, tell me? Have we taken that first step? Are we willing to listen to that command? I think that we need to be willing We need to be willing to seek the command of Jesus when we're in the storm. When we're in those moments of difficulty, we need to be saying, Lord, if this is you, tell me. But it's not just about hearing, it's about moving as well. So will you seek the command of Jesus, and will you be willing to move, to take that first step, to get out of the boat metaphorically and move, because Jesus says, come. Today we've done a lot of talking on storms, the storms of life. And I really want to just remind us that we all have storms in our lives. We have difficulties, we have struggles. And right now it probably feels like the world itself is a storm. When we think about inflation, we think about political struggles, we think about wars and rumors of wars, and we think about just the difficulties of our lives and our work and our jobs and our families and marriages and all of that, we are burdened and we are experiencing storms. So what do you need to do in the storms of life? What of these four understandings needs to stand out to you? Is there one in particular, or is there a couple of them? Do you need to trust that Jesus knows what he's doing when he sends you? That Jesus knows what he's doing. Do you need to trust in him? Do you need to believe that Jesus calms our fears? Do you need to call out to him, as the disciples did in the storm? Do you need to call out to him and wait for the response of, take courage, it's I am, do not be afraid? Or do you need to seek his command today? Seek his command and act. I don't know where you are at in this storm. I don't know if you're in a storm. My guess is that there's probably something going on in your life that could resemble a storm. And you might need to seek one of these understandings in a different way today, so that you can grow, so that you can move the way that Jesus wants you to do. And you can be more consistent in your faith and your walk with him. And maybe it's really about future preparation. That could be where you're at right now. I'm not naive enough to know, or to not know, that storms are coming. It's not an if, it's a when. So what are we going to do in the midst of them? I think one of these four ways will benefit us greatly. And I think that God can use us in great ways in the midst of these storms. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for all that you do. Thank you for the words of Scripture that remind us that storms happen, and that in the midst of them you want to do great things. That you can be the one that we trust in, you can be the one that we believe in, and that we can call out to, and that we can seek. In all of these ways, God, you are good, and we trust in your leading. So, Father, in the midst of the storm that we may be in right now, will you work? Will you bring healing? Will you bring wholeness? Will you reach down in the midst of our sinking and hold us up? Because you are righteous. And we are grateful for it, God. Lord, will you continue to lead us and guide us? And whatever storm we face, God, will you be our constant in the midst of it? We pray these things in your Son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. Amen. I pray that you've been encouraged today. Pray that you have been challenged as well. I know that God will use his divine power to see us through these struggles, these storms, because he is a faithful God. And he loves us so much. May you be blessed, and we look forward to what God is going to do. At this time, we invite you to go ahead and stand and join us for singing.